Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our Anchored series, this week looking at work in Ephesians 6, and I'm joined by two special guests and friends who I have the pleasure of working with. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose Abaroa.
Pleasure Jose. To work with you too, Taylor.
And we're joined by worship pastor Joel Hernandez. Joel, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, thank you. Happy to be here and happy to work with both of you as well.
Yeah. There you go. Well, and both of us, or all of us, have worked somewhere else besides the church, so I feel like this will be a cool part of the conversation as well. Jose, we are continuing our series. You know the question I'm going to ask. I also want to tag on one real quick, which is we could have a conversation about work at any point. So what do you think is so significant about the context that we have here? Because I've enjoyed going through this series, looking at the book, talking about a lot of common things, but in the context of being anchored.
Well, one of the things that hit me while, actually it was after I spoke, so yesterday, was how Paul in this section is speaking to every human. So think about it. We talked about spouses, so not everybody has a spouse. Mm-hmm. So that excludes some people. But then the catch-all is parents and children. Everyone is a child. Everyone has a parent. You may not have children, but you meaning honor your parents now includes everybody, and he's speaking specific instruction. And in this case, not everybody was of working age back then, but everyone should be doing something, including in our culture. Some of us may not have jobs, some of us may be retired, or some of us may be college students just studying and hoping to one day get a job. But we all have responsibilities, and so I love how Paul is giving direction to every single person. Nobody is left out. And in this case, it would have been easiest in the culture, in the context, to leave out the slaves, to leave out those on the lowest socioeconomic strata. And so the fact that he doesn't leave them out, in fact, the fact that he speaks more to them than he does the masters, I think says something to the heart of God who sees us no matter what our circumstances.
Joel, would love your thoughts on that. I know you've actually spoke in one of the messages of the series, but just the series as a whole and then what it means for work.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before I jump into that, I wanted to respond to something you said, Jose, because you said that you had that epiphany afterwards or yesterday, but I do think you did a good job of covering that on Sunday. I feel like you spoke to so many different people where I feel like everyone probably left thinking, God has something for me in this message. Yeah, the series as a whole has been so, so good. I had a chance to speak in one of them, which that was a lot of fun. The thing that's been highlighting to me is how pointed Paul has been through all of these different sections, and Jose, how you've kind of walked us through, all right, he's shifting focus to this, and I love this last little section that we've been in, as you just laid out, Jose, where we've talked about, you know, our relationship with our spouses and those kinds of relationships. We've talked about the parent-child relationship and how healing that is for so many people, because like you mentioned, everyone has that dynamic. Yeah. Everyone has those relationships, and everyone needs to heal and restore some of that stuff. And so I love how we've been able to process through so many different things in this series.
Something else that you tackled, I think, even just you've mentioned in other sermons before, but just this concept of divine assignment, we're going to get into kind of your four different attributes of how to live out a divine assignment. But could you just speak to that for a little bit too, just as far as the significance of that phrasing, that word, how that helps us as we approach the work that we do?
So one thing I didn't say that I wish I would have said is that we're all in full-time ministry, because our jobs and our workplace is our ministry. Wherever we are, that's where God wants to use us. So it's not just the pastors. And again, to your point, Taylor, you said all the three of us, we've had jobs outside of the church, not just small jobs, but you know, big jobs. And yeah, you were a coder, so you have the chief.
I don't know. I don't know if
chief
that's a big
of the
job.
Most important jobs in this. So did you, Joel?
Did you.
So here we go. I was just a minion working at a marble palace. But my point, which I literally was the minion.
No, you were assistant to the regional manager.
That's right. That's who. I did get that promotion. My point is that whatever you do, that is where God wants to use you. And so if we see our jobs as part of our lives, or just, you know, my church life is this, my family life is this, and my job life is this, we're missing out on what God's trying to not only say to us and teach us, but also areas that he wants to use us in. And so if we see our jobs as divine assignments, two things. One, we're able to be present in our jobs as followers of Jesus. And then the second is we put our jobs in their rightful place. Mm-hmm. So it's not the end all be all. It's just a part of our life that God wants to use us. And our jobs are transient. So we may have one job in one season and then another job in another season. And that's true of the three of us in these current roles that God has us in. These are just assignments. God's the one that gets to decide, all right, your assignment is done. It's time for you to move on next. Not that that's coming up anytime soon for the three of us, but my point is that these assignments really keep our focus on Jesus and the way that he's leading us in every season.
Yeah, I think one thing I'll just, you kind of alluded to it, Jose, in your answer, but just love to hear y'all's thoughts on how this contrasts with the world's view of work. Because I think about just, we've talked about this with marriage, we've talked about this with parenting, that there are these conflicting messages that we're receiving as believers in the world's ways compared to God's ways. So how does this view of a divine assignment and how we approach work differ than just the messages we're receiving in the world?
Yeah, I think the world tells us, like, how does my job serve me, or how does anything serve me and my own personal interests? What can I gain from this? How much money can I make? Who can I make sure that they're reporting to me and I'm not reporting to other people? Climb the ladder, all of those things. And so obviously the inverse to that, when we're following Jesus, is how do I serve other people? How do I love them? How do I connect with them relationally and really impact not just the working dynamics, but how do I impact my coworkers in a positive way relationally? That's kind of what my thoughts and takes on that is.
Yeah, I actually think we're in a pretty cool moment in our culture because servant leadership is in.
Yeah.
It actually will get you promoted if you embody some of these biblical principles and if you follow the way of Jesus, which is he was king, but he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's in the Gospel of Mark. And so that is actually working in our culture to some degree. It's not across the board,
right?
But top-down, heavy-handed, dictatorial leadership, there's a lot of pushback towards that. And I think that's cool because these principles are good for everybody. They're good for society. So even when you don't follow Jesus and you practice these principles, you'll see this benefit other people in society as a whole.
Paul was very concise in this particular part of the passage. And in it, Jose, you had four different points here about how to live out the divine assignment, to do a heart check, to do the little things, to remember who you work for and lead by serving. We can get into each one of those. But first, I wanted to ask y'all, just for someone listening that may be thinking, this may be easier to do at a church when there's a clear mission that we all can get behind. But what about, you know, you may not know my workplace where we're not doing something super eternal, you know, it doesn't seem to be super eternally significant, or maybe it's a company that they don't necessarily even agree with some of the values or the direction that they're going. So how do you approach your work when you don't necessarily enjoy the work you do or who you do it for?
That's where that first point is so huge, because you have to check the motivation of your heart. And if the motivation of your heart and your workplace is what you were saying, Joel, it's just about getting that paycheck. It's just about upward mobility. It's more me-centered. Then we're really missing what Paul's trying to get at. He's saying, no, slave. I mean, literally, the lowest of the low, bondservant, this person that did not have upward mobility in this season in the Roman Empire, first century in Ephesus. You can embody Jesus. And so the first thing is you got to check your heart and know that God's really trying to do heart surgery on us. And he's using our workplace as the setting. He's trying to reveal those things. And I use those stories, Taylor, on Sunday, because that's where I saw my heart, you know, not be like this. And God used an environment that was great in many aspects, but then again, no different. An environment where every Monday, you'd ask your colleague, how are you doing? Oh, it's Monday, 4 days till Friday, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to get as much from the workplace for the individual, get as many benefits, as much time off, always talking about the next vacation. Mm-hmm. Those things are not bad in and of itself, but it's the attitude that is not right. And I found myself having that same attitude.
Yeah, it's really good, Jose. I think it's really hard, but I think we have to recognize that God ultimately is sovereign and he has you in that spot, in that job, whatever it is, for a specific reason. And to your point, Taylor, like, what if we don't agree, or what if we are having some hard times? Well, what is God trying to show you? What's he trying to teach you? And how is he trying to walk with you through some of that stuff so that he can really work on your heart, like what you were talking about, Jose.
What are the kind of the dashboard indicators of the heart? I think we've asked this question with other contexts before, but how can y'all tell when you're not? I mean, Paul encourages us to serve and to work with a sincere heart. So how do you tell? I mean, that seems such an internal, deep kind of thing to analyze. So how can you tell when you're having a sincere heart and when you're not?
Those principles in 1 Peter 5 are really helpful to me. Am I doing it willingly? You know, am I serving willingly or am I doing it begrudgingly? Am I doing so eagerly mm-hmm. or am I trying to get something out of it? You know, am I doing it freely or am I doing it, well, it's just gonna, you know, if I do this, then I get that. And then the last one, am I doing it as a good example? So am I the example or are there hypocritical pieces to my walk versus what I'm actually saying or meaning? So those are really good parameters. That's for pastors in 1 Peter 5, speaking to overseers, elders, pastors. But I also think that that should be true of anybody, that's something that we can all bring into our workplace.
Yeah, for me, it usually looks like checking my own heart internally looks like, am I always thinking about myself? Am I always inward focused about how I'm feeling? How does this affect me? Or am I also trying to gauge that with the other people that I'm around, that I'm surrounded with? Hey, how is it impacting Taylor or Jose or others around me?
I think one thing I'll add, I was just looking up Matthew 12, but just this idea that Jesus talks about that out of our heart, our mouth speaks. And so I think even just a very practical thing is just analyzing how I talk about work, because I'm not married, so I don't have a spouse to come home to that's like, how was work today? But I can only imagine some days just the temptations to just rant and just kind of fume about all kinds of different things. So even just those little aspects of just how we talk about our boss, how we talk about the work that we have to do, I think can go a long way, just to y'all's point about having that heart check. The second one here, so we've got the heart check first and then doing the little things. And this is a key principle in throughout scripture about being faithful with the little and much will be given to you. Are there any kind of encouragements you would have to someone that has maybe been doing this for a while now and they're like, okay, I'm waiting for the promotion or I'm waiting for what's next? How have y'all seen God just help encourage you to continue to remain faithful even when the results don't always change?
I like what you just said about out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, because it is true. If you look at your mouth, we can see that as a little thing. You can see the big things as completing that project or finalizing that deal. And it's important to celebrate those for sure. But it's the accumulation of all the little things that add up. And I think about something on Sunday. Joel and I were talking right after the third gathering. And I had to come back to Joel after that a couple hours later and apologize, because I made some comments that were just misplaced. The comments were not
Right.
But we were on the comments, but it was just the wrong time, wrong place. And so I realized in my heart, I was dissatisfied then. Mm. And so it was out of that dissatisfaction, I sensed this urgency that was not of God, it was of me as the leader. And so I you know, let it out too quick in front of, you know, the wrong crowd.
Yeah.
And so I had to go and apologize to Joel, and thanks for your grace.
Absolutely.
but that's just a good example of, man, the little things really matter. I also think that the little things are we praying in the morning? You know, that your boss is not watching you. Your boss is probably not asking you how your time with Jesus was. In the church, we do ask that question. It's the first question is, how are we doing with our time with the Lord? Are we honoring the Sabbath? Things like that. But you know, those are little things that your boss is probably not going to be asking you. And so if we don't do those little things, if we don't prioritize community group, if we don't prioritize bringing our families to church on Sunday, then the culture is definitely not going to make that a priority. And we won't show up as these servants in our workplace if we don't do those things.
Yeah, I think of my first job right out of college was in ministry, actually. I was a part of the crosstalk team, and as we were going about having those discussions on what that looked like, one thing that was highlighted to me was, Joel, you do the little things really, really well. And that was, I think, a process of God showing me and sanctifying me, but I was really timid and shy coming into college. But then as I caught the vision for what God was doing around me, and it was just to meet with guys that were on the journey alongside me to pursue them and talk about Jesus, read the Bible together, do all of these little things. And so I was a little bit surprised, like, that I was getting the job offer, and they were like, well, you're just being faithful with all of those little things.
Yeah.
And God will continue to entrust more and more. And so I think about that for other people is continuing to do that, not out of selfish ambition or vain motives. And so it really is, I just wanted to serve God because that's what I knew at that point. And so that sounds so small, but I think that there's something big there is when we're having our eyes on God and what he has for us, God starts to bless that.
Yeah. And he's in the business of building our faith. And we saw last night at community group, we were just talking about this concept. And even just in Hebrews 11, you look at different people. We were even pulling out others like, oh, you've got Daniel or David or Joseph, or you could just kind of go back to a lot of the Old Testament and see examples of people that there were plenty of setbacks or plenty of demotions, you could say, imprisonment and all the things. And yet God was using that to build them and develop them. And obviously his plan was not thwarted because of some sort of org chart or some sort of resume. And so I think even just that refreshed me just thinking about that and just thinking about the times that these little things may seem hard or no one's going to see this or no one knows what I'm doing. And yet just trusting that God sees all of that. This third point here, Jose, you have remember who you work for. I think, again, this is a common theme we've been talking about with all of these as far as how we work unto God and not unto man. Thinking back, probably not... I mean, this may be practical now, but just thinking about more so before you worked for the church, when did you see this maybe, could you tell a difference when you were applying this principle in the work that you did beforehand? And kind of just for those that are listening that probably aren't working for a church, how can they remind themselves that God is in the work that they do?
Yeah, for sure. I think it is tied to the little things, because when you do the little things well, you remember, this is for Jesus. He does see it. My boss may not see this, but Jesus is seeing this. And so I do think about things that I did in the office. One of the things that I started doing intentionally for myself, I didn't do it for other people, was I would read the Bible during the day. So I had my Bible open for a time, either during the lunch hour or something like that in my desk. And I didn't do it to be showy. I really did it for me. So, and that actually provoked a lot of really cool, questions. And it made it more challenging, because now I really had to make sure that my walk matched my talk, because you don't want to be that guy with an open Bible and then be a jerk, you know, in the workplace. And
or the Christian bumper sticker.
Yeah, the Christian fish that cuts you off on the road. So the challenge for me was I did want it to match, but it was also I wanted a reminder that I'm really doing this for the Lord. I also did that right after I read the book that I quoted from Tim Keller, Every Good Endeavor, which is a great book to read if you're struggling with how to live out your faith in the workplace.
Joel, what would you add as far as remembering who you work for?
Yeah, I think I'll jump to, I guess, a time where I had stopped working for Cypress Creek Church, and I went and worked a tech job up in Dallas.
Left us, man. I know, Jose, but we got you back.
Jose has called those the desert years, yeah, as a joke.
Yeah, and here's why, because it coincided with me becoming the lead pastor. So I was like, Joe, you're leaving right when I'm stepping in.
God had it all.
God worked it out.
Absolutely. It out. Here I am. I am so, so thankful to be here. But in those years, I had to wrestle a lot with, what's my purpose? And I had to remember, God taught me one thing. I had to remember that I'm a follower of Jesus first, regardless of what my title was. And so in the workplace, outside of a church setting, I just wanted to be a follower of Jesus. And so I wanted to do the same things that I did as a pastor. I wanted to be relational. I wanted to try and impact people's lives. So for me, what that always looked like is, hey, let's go grab lunch. And then sports is always a big part of that. Where I worked, there was a gym where I worked. And so we would, like, two times a week, after work was over, we'd go down to the gym, we'd play basketball, and got to have so many cool, intentional conversations and start building some of that
After you beat them, of course. Well, after you beat them in whatever sport you
played. Very competitively. And
leave it all on the court.
That's right.
All on the court. That's awesome.
Hey, I'm gonna bounce this on you, Taylor, because you've done this really well. You've always remembered who you worked for. How has that helped you when you weren't working for the church?
Well, I do think it's easier maybe being, you know, kind of working for yourself, just because there's the authority structure. I remember just like trying to kind of think through.
The authority structure, you're your own boss.
Right. Well, yes. And I think it was like working for a lot of clients. So in many ways, I had a lot of different bosses. But yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was the difference between submitting all of my plans to God versus sprinkling God onto my own plans and just hoping that he'll bless it. So I think that was most of the struggle on my end was not necessarily in the day-to-day. I really loved like what I got to do on a day-to-day basis. It was more so just the big picture vision of, okay, where was I going? Where did I want to go? And there are a lot of times where I just thought, oh, this feels good, or this, you know, this will get me up the ladder. And so I just pursued those ideas, hoping that God will just kind of bless them versus fully submitting and having the posture, Joel, that you had, that I wish I'd had more in those years of thinking about, okay, what does it look like for me to be a pastor in this environment, in these settings, in these rooms that I was probably the only Christian that was in those rooms? What would it look like for me to be more intentional there instead of just kind of Christian, being a follower of Christ, being kind of an afterthought to that? So I think it's a little different just given my context compared to others that may be working for an organization for a long time, but I do think there's similarities just in the career paths.
That's really good, because I think that I know I struggled with this, and you nailed it, both of you guys did, with this identity piece. If mm-hmm. you're secure in your identity in Christ, then it helps you go from a posture that some of us may have had or have in the workplace, which is, I don't want to get caught as a Christian. I don't want people to know that I'm a Christian. I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. I don't want people to think that I'm going to judge them, right? Which ultimately is a heart of compassion and love, which we need to recognize. But then also, we need to also recognize that God has put us in that work environment for his glory and for his purposes, to be a light. And so we shouldn't put a basket over the light that God has given to us. And I think there's a balance, and the Holy Spirit leads us in how we have conversations with our colleagues. But to your point, Taylor, if you don't have that identity in first, if you're not driving that, if you're not submitting to the Lord first, then really what we end up doing is sprinkling, you know, all right, Lord, please bless this. You know, we bring those prayer requests to community groups. You know, hey, there's this big thing going on. Not a bad thing. But what's most important is not that deal, or is not that upward promotion. The ultimate thing is for people to know Jesus that we're working on. That's why God has us there. He loves people more than he does businesses.
Mm-hmm. That's a great segue into the last part here, this last point about lead by serving in verse 9. And I actually think the last part of this verse is the most profound, going to the question I asked y'all earlier about the difference between the world's ways and God's ways, but just this idea that in God's view, there is no favoritism and there really is no org chart. So I think in our world, especially in the big corporate world, your worth does come from the positions you hold, the number of people that you lead, and yet God doesn't see it that way. So what is so significant about that? Just even for those that don't have super formal leadership roles, how does this principle apply to their day-to-day?
Yeah, it is more challenging when you are growing in leadership and you're giving more responsibility, because there's more of a temptation to think that, oh, I have power now. I can leverage that. I can use that. But if we start doing that in the worldly sense, we'll miss out on the way that Jesus did it. And he laid all that down. Mm-hmm. And he came to serve. Joel, I think you said it earlier, he was more interested in, hey, how are you really doing? You know, looking for opportunities to have heart conversations in the workplace. And I shared the story of where I was humbled by someone that I thought that should be working for me, you know, and servicing my car. And God used her to remind me of his way, which is full of grace and it's upside down. And man, I need those constant reminders, because I'm no different than anybody else. I can forget and I can try to overpower or domineer at times, but Jesus is the best way.
Absolutely. Every time we, or this subject of servant leadership gets brought up, I think of Jose's always talking about soccer and how it's the greatest sport.
It all is. That, stuff. That is true.
But I'm going to give a different example, which is basketball. So shout out to any basketball fans out there. But my favorite team is the Spurs and has been for a very, very long time. And one of the best players that they have had come through, or probably the best player that's come through the organization, is Tim Duncan. And he was completely opposite of what leadership would look like. You had the Kobe Bryants, you had the Michael Jordans. They were very dominant. They had very vocal, very outspoken.
There's no I in team, but there's an I in win.
There you go.
That's a Michael Jordan. That's a Michael Jordan quote.
There's an ME is what Kobe said.
Oh, there you go.
But where I'm going with this is Tim Duncan did it completely in a different way, and that's by doing it relationally and how, by just like tapping guys on the shoulder and pulling them aside and bringing them in. And that's, to me, what it looks like to serve other people. And obviously, Jose, you talked about it, but Jesus ultimately is the one that modeled that.
Yeah.
So well, Philippians 2, where it talks about that he was a God and he came down and he said, I'm just going to be a man that walks
form,
through this life.
Yeah, form of a servant.
Absolutely.
Of a slave.
Took the form of, yeah, of a servant.
We are going to continue on in our Anchored series. Jose, you want to give us a preview?
Yeah. So we're done with the relationship, and now he's going to land this plane, and he's going to talk about our source of strength. So I can't wait to talk about that this Sunday, armor of God, and talk about some of these things that that Paul uses to close out this wonderful letter.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.